Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And welcome back to the Beer Ladies podcast. I'm Lisa, and I am your host this evening, or this weekend, or today, or this morning, or whenever you have us in your ears. We're very, very excited to have you back, or have you if you're a first-time listener. If you are a first-time listener, I will say you can find us at Beer Ladies Pod on all the socials. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook, although I think we have a slightly different name there. We are on YouTube. We are on Mastodon. Sometimes we're even on TikTok, but you can find everything from our Linktree for Beer Ladies Podcast. And we are really, really excited to have you. You can support us there. Buy us a coffee, buy us a pint, buy some merch. Look cool the next time you're going out doing what we're going to be talking about in this episode. So slight spoiler alert there, but most importantly, I am joined today by Katie and Christina. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Excellent. Hi.
It is so good to have you both, and we have what I think is a fun topic for today, but before we get into it, we will go around and do our usual, what are you drinking? So Katie, we'll start with you today.
So I am drinking a Bohemian Pils. From Farrington's.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the blur.
It's blurry.
If you're listening.
There we go.
If you're watching on YouTube, the can is on the screen. So Farrington's Brewery, it says a Bohemian style lager with a subtle malt base enhanced with noble hop bitterness and the signature taste of Czech sass, has a spicy, earthy aroma, finishing with a clean, crisp taste. I got it in our local, Selbridge. Super value. Lucan Super Value has gone downhill, I have to say, in the beer quality. So if you're in the locality, go to the Selbridge Super Value. It's much better. Farrington's are Kildare based, I believe, and they have a restaurant. They say, join us for a bite in our bar and restaurant.
They've got a number of different styles out now, if I recall correctly. So
they
I've seen
do.
Them popping up.
Yeah. So they were selling like a mixed four pack. That had this. I haven't tried the others yet. I might. There's a football match on television later. Now you're going to know what day we're recording on. I might have one or two and say, come on, Ireland.
Fair point.
France, you're probably going to kick our asses. But anyway, we can hope. We can live in hope.
We live in hope. Fair enough.
And yeah, it's a nice light color. And it tastes very, it's a nice beer.
Nice. Oh, that's good. The last time I tried something from them, it was good. I think I tried their amber, but it was not clear whether it was an amber lager or an amber ale. It was a mystery, but it was nice. I'll have to go back and look and see what it was. And Christina Friend, what do you have today?
Okay, well, we'll get into my musical taste later, but suffice to say, when I was going to shows when I was younger, and I won't say exactly what age, but younger, typically it was the cheapest fucking beer that you could get your hands on, like Natty Light, Milwaukee's Best, the Beast. I guess in some places people were drinking PBR, but that is not what we were drinking where I was. So for my drinking enjoyment, and I know she's drinking a macro. Yes, she is. She's drinking Birra Moretti. Which is the closest thing I have to that in my house at the moment. So That's what it says on the tin. It is a macro lager.
I think the Irish equivalent would have been, well, back before the Aldi and Lidl days, it would have been Dutch Gold.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Should have got that.
Yeah. There's always still a trail of Dutch Gold outside my house. If there's been a big event at Croke Park, it's just, you know, cans, you know.
Look
left
at
abandoned.
You, Lisa. or a lone bottle of Jameson I saw you post.
Yeah, lone bottle of Jameson. That was the day before St. Patrick's Day. Someone had gone through the whole thing and then just left it in the middle, you know, left it in the middle of the footpath. So it was it gets wild. Oh, that's great. And I have, and again, we'll find out why shortly, I have the Lochgill Full Power Extra Special Bitter. And you all know how I go on rants about how we never have any bitters in this country, but thank goodness Lochgill out of Sligo have made this really gorgeous ESB. And I know they're trying to sort of, sort of check the numbers, make sure it did well. So just want to say, lads, really good. Let's do this again. And you'll find out the other reason I'm having it very shortly. It does have to do with our topic, which is, drumroll, and it's so appropriate to say drumroll, so music and beer. So we'll be talking about pairing music and beer, whether that's sort of sitting at home listening to something, whether that's going out to a venue. And I think, Christina, that your beer is perfect because so many venues only have that. And so that can still put you in that sort of good frame of mind of maybe remembering a great gig, but that had terrible beer, or that was perfect for that gig. But I think I'll have to first give credit to Katie, because you had this genius idea of sort of playing around with, all the AI to see, what do you get when you ask it? So share some of your findings.
Before we move on to that, I'm just going to say the Lochgill beer, extra special bitter and full power. I like it because in Ireland, the National Power Company for years was called ESB, Electrical Supply Board.
It's so perfect. It's so perfect. I don't even know if they've made that connection.
I have made it.
There's a little lightning bolt, so they might.
Is a little lightning bolt, so that's probably there. It's probably there. I was starting to see if there's anything on the can about it, but no, it basically is just like, we're Lochgill, we make good beer, which is all true. So no complaints.
I second Lisa's motion. Please make that. I like that beer a lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I know they have the beer they make for Aldi, which is, I don't think it's quite the same recipe, but they do make a good bitter under their other label. And I'm forgetting now which one that is, but it is very nice. But so yay, more bitters. Yes, please. And again, there'll be a why in a little bit. But Katie, tell us your adventuring and your discovery.
Last season, we did an episode on star signs and beer, and it turned out to be really fun. So I was like, well, why don't we do something like music and beer? And then with the rise of ChatGPT, I said, why don't we get ChatGPT to tell us how to match music and beer? And I did star signs as well, but we don't have
to. Oh, nice.
I did star signs, beer, and it's great. It's so much fun. You could while away the hours on it.
Long conference calls suddenly get shorter.
I gave it the prompt, generate a beer style recommendation for various music genres. And the recommendation should include the reason for that choice and how it relates to the typical fan of that music genre.
Oh, you gave it very detailed directions. I like that.
Well, good. You have to be specific, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe I should have just left it very vague. I don't know. Anyway.
All good.
So what genre do you want to start with? It starts with pop.
Oh, we'll start with pop. I mean, that can maybe be a Eurovision preview. Of course, we're going to get to that in due course.
Sure it added Eurovision as its own genre.
Okay, excellent. We have to prep.
Will we go straight to Eurovision?
No, go on.
Yeah. So Eurovision. Eurovision music is known for being flamboyant, over the top, and a little bit cheesy.
Not wrong.
So a beer that's fun, playful, and a little bit silly would be a good match. A fruit beer or a sour ale with a bright, fruity flavor, a hint of sweetness would be perfect for Eurovision fans who are looking for something a little bit different.
Okay.
And I am wearing my Yaya Ding Dong, play Yaya Ding Dong t-shirt there.
We're looking for something because they're not going to find a hotel room in Liverpool. Just...
You won't find anything. You won't find an Airbnb. You won't get nothing. Sorry. And if you had a book, they cancelled it and then you got pissed off. And let's not go there.
Well, we won't. Not today. Not today.
And then Ticketmaster fucked up and the whole tickets. So, yeah.
We're not bitter. See, I brought it
back. Oh, I see what you did there. So, I don't know. Eurovision fans with a fruit beer or a sour ale?
I mean, I guess, you know, that could make sense if you're having, you know, a couple different things throughout your evening. You know, that could work. That could work. You want to mix it up. I mean, I like what we do where we try to pair, you know, the country with, you know, the beer. But, you know, there's definitely going to be some that are going to be harder to get, you know, a flamboyant, and I'm air quoting beer with, you know, say Germany. It's not going to happen. So.
Yeah. Well, there are smaller breweries there just aren't on our radar, I suppose.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're harder to get over here.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. No, I do. For Eurovision, I think it's the taste of Europe. And you try everything. Try everything. And then you end up being flamboyant because you've tried everything.
Oh, 100%. And I know, Christina, you have very different taste in music. So where are you starting with this topic? So I want to hear your thoughts.
I'm over here representing punk. And all of its like later genres, so like hardcore, post-hardcore, metalcore, alternative metal, new metal, and emo.
So I have put in emo punk. Do you want to hear what it says?
Yes.
Okay. Emo punk is characterized by its emotional intensity and raw confessional lyrics. A beer that matches this intensity and complexity would be a good choice, such as a rich malty amber ale or a hoppy bitter pale ale, American pale ale. These beer styles have a bold and assertive taste that matches the passionate and introspective spirit of the emo punk music. Additionally, a beer with a higher alcohol content could help capture the intense and cathartic experience that is often associated with emo punk concerts.
I have so many thoughts. See, like, firstly, like, when I was growing up, like, here, you didn't want to be known as emo. Like, we didn't want to call ourselves emo. Like, now, you know, it's like, oh, it's like a genre of you know, you want to be emo. And, like, now I wear the title Elder Emo quite happily. Like, I'm wearing my Chemical Romance shirt, speaking of emo, happily. But when I was growing up, not at all. So this idea, like emo emotional, like it we kind of got mocked for that, like,
right,
you know, oh, you're so emo, you're so sensitive, like it was something like people made fun of us for. It wasn't cool. Well, at least some people didn't think it was cool. I thought it was cool. But yeah, so I think it kind of depends, because there's subgenres even within emo. Like, I leaned more towards what is now kind of known as screamo. So, like, a little bit more, you know, screaming, a little more aggressive. So, like, The Used, I guess, was one of my favorite bands. Now, I'm saying this now. A lot of the old emo bands, this is a warning, have a lot of controversy surrounding them now. Some of the lead singers have been doing really fucked up shit.
Yeah.
I can't keep track of all of it because it feels like every other day it's a new band. So if I mention a band that I listen to, it's not an endorsement of their behavior or what they're doing now, because, like, frankly, I just can't keep up with who all is being, for lack of better terms.
I say that applies to beer as well?
It's like 100%.
We try to keep up with who's a good brewer and who's being horrible. But
you just can't keep up.
You can't keep up, and it shouldn't really be on the consumer to have to keep up. I don't know. Like, no. I will boycott them if I know they've done something nasty, and I purposely won't buy their product. But if I don't know about it, then
no. And, like, you shouldn't have to, like, just like when I go to the shop and I buy cereal, I don't Google the brand of cereal before I buy my cereal. You shouldn't have to do that with beer, but, like, increasingly it feels like we have to. It's so frustrating. But then there's arguments about, like, well, the bigger brands are all horrible anyway, and not for today's topic. But the moral of the story is, I'm not endorsing any of these bands. I don't know the controversies in and out. In fact, I probably don't know much of the controversies. So, you know, some of these bands might have stuff that's not great. And I apologize for that. I try to keep up with it, but it's really hard. But yeah, so I grew up listening to some of those bands. And then, of course, like My Chemical Romance and Fall Out Boy, Taking Back Sunday, you know, those kind of bands. So I want something a little more aggressive in terms of a beer. And I was thinking more of like a black IPA.
Nice.
So the complexity of the dark malts with the underlying bitterness, I think works really well because you have that sort of angry or emotional or, you know, that backbone, that bitter backbone that plays well. But then you have these sort of lovely, dark, roasty notes, which, you know, tends to be more of like the chorus or something like that. And then plus, like, obviously, like black. Come on.
It has ChatGPT has recommended a black IPA for metal fans.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also a metal fan. Like I metalcore and alternative metal, frankly, there's not that much difference between them and someone's gonna punch me in the face. But like, really, like, if you listen to screamo, you're probably gonna like metalcore and alternative metal, like, or just metal in general, because I do, you know, I listen to all of that. They're loud, heavy, hard, angry music. Sign me up. So I think, you know, that kind of works for both of them. But then, I mean, I guess with emo, then you have on the other side, you have like bands like Dashboard Confessional, which is a lot softer. So then I think maybe then for your Amber IPA or even some Fall Out Boy is a bit softer. Even the Used has like, you know, Blue and Yellow, which is a softer, Blue and Yellow, which is a softer song. So it just kind of depends on the song. Some of the most beautiful, sweetest songs have been by bands that scream the rest of their songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, it really depends. But like, that's if the genre was a beer. But if when I'm thinking about like, what beer would I drink at one of these shows, that's a whole kind of different kettle of fish. And I don't know if we're there yet, but
yeah, let's come back to that, because that's another good question to get into, is what about at the gig. So I think we will come back to that. So I've also got like a music and beer shirt on. I've got one of the Rascals' newer shirts. It's their Happy Days. What's got Happy Days and Wunderbar? It's a bunch of their beers, and then they're in vinyl records because that's what all the kids are into these days, is the vinyl. And certainly whenever you go to Rascals, they're always playing some kicking tunes. I know we've talked before about how for some of us they're a little too loud if it's an event, but that said, they are really, really good tunes that they have. But I also took inspiration from you, Katie, and I decided to see what would happen if I asked ChatGPT to pair some, pair the Divine Comedy, my favorite band for forever and ever and ever. Only moderately obsessed with, you know, everything Neil Hannon does. So I said, could you pair some Divine Comedy music with the right kind of beer? And so this was fantastic for me because it said, when it comes to the Divine Comedy, a band known for its witty and sophisticated lyrics, theatrical flair, and Baroque pop sound, you might want to consider a beer that's similarly complex, playful, and refined. Here are a few options to try. So number one, Belgian Double. The Divine Comedy's music often incorporates classical jazz and cabaret influences, and a Belgian Double with its rich malty sweetness, dark fruit flavors, and spicy notes can complement that complexity. Try a Trappist beer like Chimay Red or Westmalle Double. So interesting, hadn't thought about that, but I can see where they're going with that. So I think they really want me to go down kind of the Jacques Brel side of the catalog for the double there, which is all good. But then, and this is why I got to have my bitter, it says number two, English bitter. Since the Divine Comedy is an Irish band with a penchant for literary references and sardonic humor, an English bitter with its earthy herbal hop character and dry finish could be a good fit. Look for a traditional pub ale like Fuller's London Pride, or Timothy Taylor's Landlord, although I get to win because I'm having an Irish one. So yay me. But their third one is Irish Stout. If you want to nod to the band's Irish roots and melancholic side, a dry Irish stout like Guinness can provide a smooth, creamy contrast to the music's ornate arrangements and bittersweet lyrics. So I feel like Bit of a cop out on the Guinness, but okay. Not the Guinness specifically, but I feel like the sort of stereotype of sort of sad Irish people crying in the rain was a little, you know, a little on the nose. But I don't know, what do you think? I'm like, that's kind of in the ballpark though. I was impressed by the idea of a double, just sort of getting into that sort of, I don't know, jazz kind of angle. I guess sort of Belgian jazz angle very specifically. But yeah, so not sort of mad about where it ended up, but again, I get to have my bitter. So that makes me pretty happy. It is all good, but I was sort of also running this past some of my fellow Divine Comedy nerds who were very excited about this. So guys, if you're listening, hello. If this is your first episode, hello. Hopefully you'll come back and listen to more. But I thought it was such an interesting idea, and hopefully they're all off now running other sort of Divine Comedy and or Neil Hann related ChatGPT queries. So we'll see where that goes. But there you go. But I try to kind of the other way around too, to just say, you know, if I like a best bitter, what music should I be listening to? And then some sort of less good results there, because it's like classic rock, like Led Zeppelin. And I was like, okay. And then it got into folk rock, folk music, not folk rock, where they're like Fairport Convention, the Dubliners, Nick Jones. I'm like, okay, that's fair. But then the indie rock too was a little bit too generic, where it's like, you might like The National or Fleet Foxes. I'm like, I don't know, those are very different things to me, but felt like it was a bit more generic. But again, that's the prompt I gave it. So it was very open-ended. But I don't know, it's definitely a fun experiment. But
it is so much fun. And when I did my one, so jazz here got brown ale or a porter with hints of caramel and chocolate.
Now see, that's interesting to me, because I would have thought jazz would go more kind of, you know, continental. Let's say again, yeah, something maybe a bit Belgian or, you know, or French maybe.
Classical got a Belgian ale.
Okay, interesting. Classical.
So I'll do a quick rundown. So yeah, Pop got a Pilsner.
Okay, I mean, sure.
Yeah. Rock, because they're rebellious, got an IPA.
Okay, Boomer. Yeah.
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 Country got an easy drinking beer like a blonde ale or a lager.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. Hip hop, it's all about confidence and style.
Okay.
So it's a stout or a porter with hints of chocolate and coffee.
Huh. Okay, no, that I could see that though. Yeah, fair enough.
What else? Electronic music is a sour ale or a wild ale with a fruity or funky flavor.
Yeah.
Complement the bold, innovative spirit of electronic music.
Yeah.
Reggae.
I like that.
Mm. Yeah. Reggae is a wheat beer or a blonde ale with a hint of citrus. Perfect match for a laid-back tropical sound.
I don't see. I'm thinking like a tropical stout, but I can see maybe, you know, if you're on a beach, you're maybe like a Red Stripe kind of thing. I don't know. I'll see where they're going with it though.
Yeah, so then metal was an imperial stout or black IPA with a high alcohol content and strong hop flavor.
There you go. Well, I think it's great to have to sort of, you know, reverse engineer and see how many ways you can work a black IPA into something, because that's just, you know, a thing I like to do. And I believe there's a new black IPA from Whiplash out, so I have to go track that down.
Yeah, me too. I need that. Black IPAs are like one of my absolute favorite styles of beer. I love it.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's something about it too, where when you get people who like to nitpick about, but oh, but it's a bad name, and it's like, well, so what? So I think it fits in well with that rebellious music angle to say, no, it doesn't matter. This is, you know, everyone understands what you say when you say it. It's, you know, you don't have to say, no one wants to hear that. Just enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Drink it and live your life.
Exactly. So I think maybe that brings us back around to kind of, are there places you like to go to kind of listen to music, vibe out to it, or, you know, maybe the opposite of vibe out to it, like just get really into it and kind of pair that with a good drink? Because I can think there are a couple of places here where I do like to go and have a chill, you know, pint or two, where I know they're going to be playing music I happen to like. But you know, I feel like there aren't that many places out there that happen to do that. So I don't know, Katie or Christine, if you've come with, if you've got sort of a place that fits that bill.
Well, not, probably not to my taste. But I had a housemate in college who, I don't even know what style of music it was, quite alternative rock maybe, or emo maybe, but she loved Fibber McGee's. I can see Christina is
just nodding.
Nodding her head there. And also Bruxelles just off Grafton Street. Now I haven't been, I've been to Bruxelles most recently, but it was still about 5 or 6 years ago, so I'm not really sure what the vibe is in there now and what the music style is, but it was slightly more heavy than mainstream. But have you been there recently?
Me? Not recently, no. But I have ventured there.
Yeah.
yeah.
So when I think of music bars, I don't know, like in Ireland, you get a lot of live music in pubs.
Yep, definitely.
In pubs. But it's usually quite middle of the road.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like you have your trad places or you have kind of cover bands.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Which is, you know, not necessarily a bad thing, but it's yeah, probably a little hard. I mean, I feel like when I've been to, say, the Big Romance and they've had on, again, either some wonderful Divine Comedy or they've had one of their kind of jazz evenings, it's always been when I've kind of happened upon it. But I know they have this huge vinyl collection and all different genres of music. And I know that that's something that they care very, very deeply about. They're very into the sound system and all of that. And they have a similar setup at Fidelity as well. Although I think more of that is still coming, that they're still working on doing some more on the music end. But I think they do such a nice job of kind of, you know, they do kind of, to an extent, sort of pair the music and beer. But again, I think I've sort of happened to have lucked out on evenings when they've done that. So it's, and I'm also, I was like, oh, this is just this wonderful serendipitous thing where I can just kind of sit and relax and it's not too loud because I still, you know, I'm old. I don't want it to be too loud. But I think, Christina, there are probably times when you do want it to be too loud. So I'd love to get your perspective.
So I listen, and someone is also going to yell at me for this, to my music as loud as humanly possible. I don't want to hear my thoughts. I don't want to think my thoughts. I just want to hear music. So it sort of depends. Sometimes when I go out, I just want some nice background music and then it's whatever pub and my friends and whatever. But if I'm going out to listen to the music I like to listen to, I want it to be really, really loud. And I want sort of everyone to be listening to the music and singing along or whatever. So like Workman's Club, I think, has emo nights. Carolyn, if everyone remembers Carolyn, who was on the podcast a couple years past, and I would go to emo nights and everyone is singing and screaming along, and that's my vibe. I love that.
Nice.
Or equally, I want to go to a gig. Small local punk bands, bigger bands. Again, Carolyn and I went to go see My Chemical Romance last year, actually in England. And then she saw them again here. So yeah, I like the vibe of everyone sort of, you know, going to see the band and or the genre of music, and everyone's kind of connected in that way. I grew up doing that. I remember drinking really, really shitty beers in my friend's basement while playing like CDs. I'm very old. You know, back in the day, and just like everyone's
what do you
jamming
mean?
Out.
Your very old CDs. Hello, cassette tape girl over here.
I mean, I was a cassette tape girl too. Okay. Don't get it wrong.
Vinyl the first time, but yeah.
I mean, like I was the, I'm sure you all remember this, recording the song on the radio.
Oh yeah.
When it came on, you'd record it. Yes. Like grunge. I remember we're like recording like Nirvana off the radio. I was so pleased with myself. But yeah, so I think of like those kind of venues and that kind of a scene. And then, you know, like what beers do I drink? Whatever the cheapest one is, because I'm there for like the vibes and the ambiance, and I'm not too bothered with what I'm drinking as long as it's okay, you know? And that's what we grew up drinking. Like I said, Natty Light, cheap beer. You know, I actually, when I was at My Chemical Romance gig, they had a nice kind of selection of beers, but I genuinely just picked the cheapest one.
Hey, you know, especially if you're going to be out, you know, doing it up.
Yeah. If it's an outdoor gig, you just want something to keep you somewhat hydrated and
I know. And Katie, we have to plan for when we go see Pulp. You know, in a few months' time. So.
If anyone else is going to Pulp, let us know. We'll have a little entourage when we will.
Oh, like, yes, that would be super fun. That would be super fun. I wish I could find my my t-shirt from the last time I saw them in, I think, 1996. So it's been a while. I was not drinking on that occasion because I was incredibly hungover. To the point where people were coming up to me, and this was at a festival, so this was a very long time ago, saying like, "You don't look well. Do you need bread?" And I'd be like, And people very nicely like gave me bread and patted me on the head and made sure I didn't get into any kind of trouble, and you know, all good. But yeah, the Pulp were the headliners that day, so it was a V96, I think. But yeah, long time ago. But no beer on that occasion. No, nothing. Nothing really.
I know. And I just think that for an outdoor gig, yeah, it'd be nice to have more options, but we just get macros here. But even in where you're seated, like I went to see Daddy Frere with Tandy last year.
Yes.
And in the Olympia, and your choices are just macro. There's no
the Olympia, you have to go to the Oak or the Beer Temple beforehand.
We did
yeah,
we went to the beer temple beforehand.
Absolutely.
It'll be nicer. Because when you're sitting down at a seat, you want to
when you're sitting down, you want to be slightly more sophisticated, is the wrong word, but sort of you want to sit and just enjoy, right? You want to enjoy. That's you know, to switch the genre of music again. When I was up in Belfast the other week to hear some wonderful musical theater type stuff, and they had Heaney there, and I could enjoy just a really lovely beer, sit back and hear glorious singing. It was all just very, very nice. But to Christina's point, very different from if you're hearing like something grungier and loud, and where you just want to like, again, kind of stay hydrated or have whatever is cheapest
dance, just be there and be very present. And honestly, almost the cheap beer is part of it. Like, it just is part of the experience for me. And like, I hate that the cheap beer is macro beer, because that's so anti everything. You know, because like, you know, it's anti-consumer, anti-corporate, anti-capitalism. And then here we are with our macros.
Right.
So like, you know, like a really good craft lawnmower beer would be perfect for those venues. Like some really easy drinking lager would be divine. Chef's kiss. I would love to be drinking something like that, but that's usually not on offer. And so it's, you know, whatever's the cheapest beer that's there. I would really like to see not corporate being massive corporate beers there.
And like Ballycockhaven don't they do the beer for Forbidden Fruit, which has Suede and Ash?
Forest Fest. Yeah, that's the one. And that's the one I know. And I've said this before, I really want to go, but I don't want to camp.
I'm with you, Lisa. I would go, but the whole camping thing, you reach a stage in your life and it's just like, orthopedic mattress, please.
And I know that they've got the lovely recyclable cups or reusable cups, and I've got some of them from other events they've done, and it's wonderful. And I want to go and support and hear all these amazing bands, but I also want to be comfortable. So
I got asked last year very nicely to come down to Electric Picnic to give a talk on the history of brewing women, and Tandy went with me, and she did the tasting part and I did the history part, and we paired with Ballykillcabin and had some of their beers on there, and it was awesome. I'm too old to camp. And it's also like a lot of that music just isn't my scene. But yeah, so it was a really fun experience, but I'm with you, Katie. I need a nice mattress. Because if I'm going to a show, I want to like dance around, just get hectic, just be ridiculous. Then I want to go home, to my bed or a nice hotel room and be comfortable.
Yeah, and shower and shower. Do all of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And maybe there's room service or whatever. I think that's the thing that also puts me off, like the glamping, is it looks beautiful, but it's so expensive for, you know, at that point, I may as well be in a nice hotel
that's going to look after me. For yeah. what you get, it's definitely not worth it, because you still have to put on your head torch and find the toilet in the middle of the night.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like Electric Picnic was unreal. If I was like, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, oh my God, it would be amazing, but I'm not. It's just slightly beyond me at this point. Now I'm like, I'd rather sleep in my car. I'd rather sleep at home. Yeah, no, it was so much fun, but it's just, I'm an older lady who prefers her comforts in life, which is probably also very anti-punk, but here we are.
Even punk rockers grow old.
Well, yes, I'm an elder emo. Absolutely. Okay, so as an elder geriatric emo, I need my bed.
Yeah. Oh my God, I had to look up what was the last thing I had at a, you know, at a gig, and this would have been, I've not been to anything since, again, apart from this musical theater one, like a gig since November. I was in London. I was at the Water Rats to see David Devant and his spirit wife, and I had a London Pride, and it was perfect for just standing there with my plastic cup, you know, in the front of the venue, wearing the same t-shirt that I bought 25 years ago. So that felt good, but like it was vibes. It was fantastic. But I loved having, you know, I would say cheap pint, but I probably paid like £7 or something for it, which I did not back in the day, but it still took me back, you know, flavor wise. It was still the same experience, you know, same music, same band, mostly the same people, frankly, same beer. So you know, you can go back again to an extent, but then I went back to a nicer hotel than I would have ever, you know, I would have been in like student accommodation. Then I stayed in a nice hotel this time. That was different. So I did get to go back after and then sleep. Different experience on that, from that perspective.
And are there many musicians or bands that are big into their beer? That would say,
yeah, ooh, there are some metal and punk bands that have paired with like craft breweries in the US to make beers, because in some cases the Venn diagram of people who like metal and who like emo music and who like craft beer is a circle,
right?
Just like Eurovision fans and beer fans. Yeah,
there
yeah.
we go. Definitely
definitely definitely, not just us. Right. It's not just us.
So yeah, so like that totally exists. Although I think, and I, you know, I warned them before the episode that I was going to have a wee bit of a rant about this, but I think that there's absolutely a misappropriation of punk culture in craft beer. I think, you know, punk culture is like anti-capitalist, anti-consumerist. The most punk rock beer you could probably make is your home brew in your bathtub. Bringing that or sneaking that into a gig would probably be the most punk rock thing that you could have. And I sound so pretentious being like, oh, that sounds like punk rock. I sound like an arsehole. I can hear myself sound like an arsehole, but you know what I mean when I'm saying this. Like that would be probably to me, especially because, you know, there's a lot of like DIY. That to me like really speaks more to the spirit. And there's a lot of other people who probably agree with me. I think people, I'm not the first one who said this. I'm sure lots of people have said that homebrew is particularly associated with punk rock or should be. At the end of the day, craft breweries are capitalist organizations there to make money. I think that there's absolutely a space where the craft breweries and bands, punk bands and stuff can exist, because punk bands make money too. And I think as long as it's still, you know, that ethos where they're, you know, there to build community, they're there to be anti-establishment, they're probably quite leftist. As long as they're still espousing those values, that's okay. But I think there are some breweries, no name's going to be mentioned,
nameless.
Misappropriated craft punk culture into their brewing as a way to kind of maybe like sleight of hand away their capitalist notions and some of probably their really bad behavior.
Watch the hand. Yeah.
Yeah, we all know who we're talking about, but we're not going to say anything.
Maybe not, because I think there's more than one.
Yeah, you see, you're being plural is important here. So
yeah, there's not just one. There's quite a few. that kind of do this either with their branding or their, like, not even the name of their brewery, but like certain specific beers or like the decor in their brew pubs. Like, it's not just one brewery. I know, you know, you might have this one in mind, but there's a lot of these, or that one in mind, or this or that, or this, and many different ones, probably wherever you are in the world, there's probably one that's coming into your head. But the point that I'm making is there's quite a few of them. And so I think that's something that you kind of need to be cognizant of, you know, like, what are they doing this for? Why are they saying this? Are they doing it because they really like the music and that's one thing, or are they doing it because they think it's going to sell well? You know, it's, which, you know, in fairness, that's a good reason to make something, but like, you know, you need to think about it. And again, I'm not talking about one specific brewery. There are lots of breweries that are doing this. But they're doing it with all number of things. So it's not just, you know, punk rock. It's, you know, your childhood cartoons. It's all sorts of things. Absolutely. That's my little rant on that. But just, yeah, it's not one brewery. It's lots of breweries. And it's something to keep an eye out, because they sort of water this down, right? They make it more palatable. But the original ethos of punk was not. Right. And of course that's changed in like post-hardcore and emo and these sorts of things, but it's still there. Like, you know, bands like Rise Against and stuff are very political. So be wary of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's been that kind of reckoning. I don't know if it's happened much here, but like in sort of English folk music, I'd say English and Scottish folk music, where they had to be really specific about saying, no, we're anti-fascist, we're anti-racist. And they had, and kind of sort of saying, look, all of you sort of, again, the Venn diagram is a circle of people who are, you know, drinking cask ale and sort of, you know, the more traditional ones, and sort of assuming culture means one thing when it means many things, and they have to kind of keep making the point, you know, again, it's sort of sad that it always falls to the musicians or the fans to say, no, this is a broader church than this narrow thing that someone prescribed in 1932 or whatever. But but I think, again, you that's almost kind of more, in some ways, punk rock from this very sort of traditional folk idea than kind of a lot of what you're saying. Certain, we'll say, multinationals and other breweries who kind of like to hitch a ride, as it were.
Yeah,
that kind of ethos. So,
yeah,
it's a thing.
Yeah, and it's a lot of them. It's not just one. There's quite a few, and they do it for all different things.
Yeah.
So it's just something to just keep in mind with. And, you know, again, this is frustrating because we're going circling back to that. Oh my God, do I have to Google every freaking brand that I buy something from? It feels like we're almost there, folks. Like, it's really annoying.
Yeah, on the one hand, it's like great that the information is there, but on the other, like, can you just not expect people to be sound about certain things?
Yeah.
Why
is it our, like, is it our job to vet them, or is it their job to not be a douche canoe? Like,
not be fucking dickheads.
Yeah, just like be nice to people. This is, you know, you can still make money and be nice to people. These are not mutually exclusive things, you know, it's all doable.
I have noticed on a brief tangent that this is probably the sweariest episode I think we've ever had. And I'm like really, really proud that that's the music episode. I'm really, really.
We have opinions. Okay, so on that note, we'll sort of move slightly into, again, this idea of venues. Because before we started, I was saying, Christina, there is a place you need to go in London. There is a pagan metal bar called Helgi's Bar in North London, which I think is like, you know, for you. Now, is it maybe too prescribed to be you? Is it too perfect to be true? Who knows? You need to kind of go and find out. But I wonder, have either of you come across this kind of thing where you're like, ooh, that looks like a place I need to go and check out because it looks like they get kind of my musical taste, or, you know, my taste in beer. I don't know. I've noticed a couple of these places, and that's the one that comes to mind for me, but I feel like there must be more out there.
There has to be more, right? Like, I need to go to there.
Right?
Sounds so cool.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated by their Instagram now, even though like metal is not my thing, but I'm fascinated by the sort of use of kind of what I'll call kind of modern pagan culture. And they're not trying to sort of, what's a good way to say it? Like, they're trying to just say, this is this. They're not trying to put all these sort of deep thoughts into it. They're just like, this is just people enjoying this scene, and
it looks fun. Speaking of cultural appropriation, that's
right. There can be big pitfalls there. Yeah, exactly.
That sounds really cool. I want to go.
Yeah, it looks really cool. Or I think too, like, there must be some really great you know, I think there must be other places here, like even just like going to like Piper's Corner and hearing like a trad session, like there's some really good stuff going on that's not just the kind of touristy you know thing that's out there. Like, you know, bands like Lancome got started somewhere and they're very cool. So it's you know, I think there's a lot more out there in that kind of scene. And I do think some of the places playing, and again, maybe this is my own bias, playing kind of the better, and I'm air quoting this, music, or, you know, more, maybe more variety, do tend to have better beer on. So there's just, I don't know. Is it a real trend or is it just something I see? I don't know.
Well, yeah. And like, I'm not that fussy. Like I have obviously like my favorite genres of music, but if it's live music, I will probably go see anything. Like if you're like, hey, Christina, you want to go see this band? I have a ticket and it's blah, blah, blah. Yes. Is probably going to be my answer because I just like music. Like I just love music. So I'm pretty happy to be anywhere where there's live music. So more of that, frankly.
Yeah. More of that.
Where were we? We had a Beer Ladies event at the Beer Temple and they had live music. They had a gentleman who's, I think it's one man band with his guitar and stuff. That was really nice. Like it was, you know, you had the Galway Bay beers and then you had the, and he wasn't too loud. He was a nice volume.
Yes. That, I think that was a Cans in the Park day.
Was it?
I think there were Cans in the Park.
Yes, it was. And then I think we ended up there. That was a great day. And I, more of that.
Yeah.
More of that.
I think we ended up singing a song. Yeah.
I'm sure it was very tuneful. Absolutely. Oh my God. And I will say, I enjoy a good sing along or, you know, that kind of a thing. And I feel like we won't get into it right now, but I feel like there's a whole separate episode to be done on like, you know, beer and favorite karaoke numbers. And like, that's a different direction, but we could explore that some
fun direction.
Yeah. But then people might like get it on camera or something and it would be out there forever.
I don't sing karaoke, but I really like to go to watch other people sing karaoke.
I did karaoke once in DCU bar when I was in college and they plugged out the microphone. I was so amazing. They just like,
you didn't need it.
I probably didn't even need it, you know. I have a voice that carries, you know. But yeah, I was absolutely terrible. Oh my God.
I wouldn't mind doing it if it was one of those, you know, you can go and there's a couple places actually in Dublin where you can get like the private room, so it's just like you and your mates. I wouldn't mind doing that because if I make an absolute, you know, fool of myself around you guys, I don't care.
Yeah, they do it at the back page. They've got the private karaoke rooms, so you can get.
See, like, I would do that with you all because I don't like. I mean, I know we'll all just laugh, right? Like, it might be a big deal.
Same,
exactly.
Maybe we'll do that.
Yukio once, and they have a little telephone, and you telephone up your order, and they bring it down, which I thought was so cool.
Oh my gosh, that is so much fun. Ah, my goodness. Well, I think we're going on, but any final thoughts on music and beer or things that we need to explore in that direction? Apart from, I think the message is loud and clear. We need to get out and see more gigs and just see more bands.
Yeah.
Almost regardless of what there is to drink. So.
But we're too old for tents.
Too old for tents.
My call to the craft breweries in Ireland is to pair up with like more like alternative like metal punk bands and like try to get into more of those establishments because you have an audience that would probably much likely prefer to drink local than to drink macros based on probably their leanings.
Yeah.
As long as it's somewhat affordable. So I would really like to see that in those kind of venues or even more venues like that, more live gigs, more live music, just more of that. But yeah, that's my favorite. So yes.
Yeah. And look, we just need Niall Horan now to to, he's Mullingar. What brewery's in Mullingar?
I don't know.
Maybe he'll dead center in Athlone isn't a million miles away.
Yeah, not too far. Yeah.
You know? We'll get Niall Horan. He's gonna make dead center go international.
Go global. Oh my goodness, that would be a thing. Yeah, no, I think definitely. I know we've got the again, like the Rascals Beer Festival to look forward to. They're going to definitely play some good tunes there, and I think that'll be indoor outdoor this time. So if it is loud, we can always wander to one space or the other. But it'll be good tunes no matter what. But that will be good fun.
I'm looking, and
Yeah, Katie, you and I.
I'm really looking forward to that. That's the Maybank holiday weekend in Ireland.
It's going to be pretty epic. So
food trucks as well. So yeah. Tacos and proper tacos, I'm told.
I hope so. It sounds like it. So
nice.
You know, yeah, that's going to be exciting. And then that's a whole other thing. Like food trucks and beer, like they need to come together.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's a love affair.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Definitely. And I think before we completely wrap up, I just have the half man, half biscuit song, Camera Man, in my head, which is just, we'll put a link to it in the show notes because it's very, very funny, but I feel like it's very on the nose. A lot of the stereotypes mentioned in the song are absolutely true of people who like this kind of music and like this kind of beer. But I think it's done with love. So I think it's the right kind of gentle ribbing. But maybe that's the next thing. Folks who are listening, if there are other songs that mention either sort of, you know, traditional cask or just, you know, craft beer, what are they? I think we'd like to hear more about what you guys are hearing. So
yeah, not Chumbawamba.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with Chumbawamba.
Good song.
Do you like some Chumbawamba? And again, like hardcore, like awesome folky leftist band that everyone thought was a big pop band who actually were secretly not. But you know, there you go. That is a great example. But yeah, folks, tell us like other songs that kind of, you know, pair, you know, beer, good, you know, beer, good music, good beer, but without getting into that sort of traditional drinking song, because that can get a little too generic. So we're looking for an elevated version. How about that? So on that note, I don't know, anything else from you, Katie or Christina? All right, then with that said, again, we are at Beer Ladies Pod on all of the socials. We really appreciate all of your likes and shares and subscribes. It really does help us when you go in and do the little rating or go ahead and tell other people that we're out there. We really, really appreciate it. If you buy some merch and wear it to a gig, we would love to see pictures of that. You will be super famous on the internet. So, you know, go for that. So with that said, we hope to see you at a gig. So see you soon. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.